you, Rather.
Well, thank you so much, Robin, for your kind words of welcome. And again, it was lovely to sing with you. Occasionally, I would sing some solos. And obviously, when you've been working in the Belfast City Mission and you're preaching most of the time, you don't get many opportunities to sing a solo. I just wish I would have brought something with me to sing to you this evening. But again, I know that we have enjoyed singing those pieces, reminding us again of who is on the throne, and again, who came down to earth, sent by God, the one, the Lord Jesus. And that is who we're here to worship. And that is who we must give our praise to continually. I want to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And I want to try and link in this passage this evening with the work of the Belfast City Mission. It's a very familiar passage. It is the calling of the first disciples. Let us read the Word of God together. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the Word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And amen. And we know that once again the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. I was saying earlier that the Belfast City Mission is about to mark 190 years of work within Belfast. Obviously, it wasn't always called the City Mission, because in the early days it was called the Town Mission, and I know some of you know that. But obviously, as Belfast progressed, and obviously an Industrial Revolution took place, many people came to Belfast, and then obviously it changed to a city. So again, the Belfast Town Mission became the Belfast City Mission. Sometimes we get confused with the Belfast Central Mission. They are called the BCM too. And the thing is, our offices are right beside each other. But again, I have to believe that we were the first. We were the Belfast City Mission, I think, before they were the Belfast Central Mission. But again, they're doing a work just like ourselves. 190 years. But out of those 190 years, I have just reached 10 years within the Belfast City Mission. And again, as I think back to the time that I was called of the Lord into the Belfast City Mission, it seems like yesterday. Those 10 years have just flown in. But again, when that call came, I didn't know how I was going to cope in the city of Belfast. I come from the country. And obviously, going to the city wasn't always a thing that we done. We kind of usually tried to stay away from the city. We only went to the city when we really needed to. And I remember, in many of those times, I always parked in the same car park because I always knew it, because I didn't want to get lost in the city. But obviously, I was quite timorous about going to the city. And I often wondered, how, Lord, am I going to cope within the city? But I wasn't very long in the Belfast City Mission until I realized why I was there. Obviously, as a Belfast City missionary, we do many visits to different people and we come across many people. One of my early visits was to a husband and wife. And I went to that home, and they welcomed me greatly into their home. And obviously, we had conversation together that particular day. We talked about general things in life, and family life, and all of those things. Until it came to the point where I had to read the scripture and then pray. And after I had finished doing those two things, I looked up and I saw tears streaming down that husband and wife's eyes. And they said to me, David, you came this day, because this is the day that we need the Lord in our lives. And the Spirit of God was very much in that home that day. I couldn't leave. And praise God, that day, that husband and wife came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I realized why I was there, just like these disciples. They were there and they were going to go forward to catch men and women and boys and girls. Amen. And that is what happened. Those two were my first two converts. That husband and wife have went on in the Lord. They became communicant members of their church that they belonged to. And they became active within their church as well. And every time I still would go to that home, I am treated just like a son. I remember also that day driving home up the M2. And the tears were coming down my eyes as well. Because the Lord had shown me why I was in Belfast. It was to proclaim the message of the good news of salvation to whosoever will believe and come and trust and repent and come to that relationship in the Lord. But you see, it wasn't of me. It was of the Master. And you see here, in this passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, immediately that comes to you. Because it's when Jesus came on the scene. Things changed. And you see, when Jesus comes upon a scene, things happen. When the Master is near, that is the most important thing. And everything any of the missionaries do in Belfast, and anything that we do in service for Him, is all about Him. It's not about ourselves. It's about the Lord and keeping Him at the center of everything. And the Belfast City Mission is founded upon that. Yes, we have to do many things among different people, and we have to use different methods of reaching out to different people. But the message must remain as it is. And we do continually preach the message. And that was one thing that is important and always has been important within those 190 years. Many, as you've told me yourself, have come to trust in the Lord through the Belfast City Mission. And that continues. Because doors open to us, and doors and means of making and building up relationships with people. You see, first of all and foremost, it's about relationship building. You know, that has been evident for myself. Because sometimes surprises happen. Every time in the mission hall where I've been, I always make a point of keeping the door open. And some people always said to me, "David, are you not frightened to keep the door open in Belfast in case somebody comes in and causes some harm?" I have always said to the people like that, I says, you know, the door must be open. Because we do not know who the Lord is going to bring in. And that happened. One particular Thursday evening, a gentleman came in. At that time, I was in Ballysillan. And he came in off the street to the fellowship meeting in the midweek. And he came in and he sat down and he sat through the whole service. And after the service was over, I got an opportunity to speak to him. And I asked him, "What brought you in?" He says, "I was walking by and I seen the light on. And I felt I just had to come in." And I asked him, "Where are you from?" And he said to me, I'm from the Ardoin. So immediately, it came across my mind that this man is not of the persuasion of all the people in here. He was a Roman Catholic. And he came to that service that evening. And he started to come on a regular basis. Until one particular night he asked me, he said to me, David, would you mind if you come alongside me for a one-to-one Bible study? And immediately I thought to myself, goodness, a Roman Catholic man wanting to study the Bible. We all know that they're not really allowed to study the Bible. But here he was. So we met every single Friday. And we went through Mark's Gospel. I felt that Mark's Gospel was a great gospel to go through, because all Mark's Gospel is pointed towards one person, and that's the Lord Jesus. And he comes out of that gospel. During that Bible study, I was always seeking of the Lord to keep me calm and to stop me from being too pushy and to stop being judgmental upon him and where he was coming from. And I prayed just that the Holy Spirit would keep me under check. The Bible study kept going. And one particular Friday he came in and he says to me, David, I was out in the street and I seen this lady struggling. And I felt I needed to pray for that lady. And he said, I felt like praying to Mary. But he says, I know now I don't have to do that, because I can pray to the Lord Jesus. He had come to the understanding that there was only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. That was a breakthrough. It was a breakthrough. That gentleman came to trust in the Lord. He has become a personal friend. He went out and he did door-to-door work with me around those loyalist areas where the flags were flying. And he went and he knocked the doors with the gospel message. It was a surprise. But you see, once again, the Lord was in it. And the Lord has used him. He is still searching the scriptures. He is still trying to find out more. Because why? He wants to grow. He wants to grow. I always find that is something that's so important in the Christian life. Yes, it's okay to have the basics of the Christian life, but we have to grow. We have to grow in Christ. We want to learn more of him. And that is what Robin, that's his name, Robin, continues to do. And that is what the Lord can do. And you see, the light was on. The door was open. And the Lord brought him in. If I had shut the door, he wouldn't have been in. You see, we must keep the door open, because it's the Lord's place, and the door must be open for him and for his Spirit to move in hearts and minds. That was a blessing. And the Lord gives us many blessings within the Belfast City Mission. One other way that we get tremendous encouragement from and is used of the Lord too is by way of taking many funerals. Many come to us and they would ask us, because they do not have any real church connection or they have lost their church connection somewhere along the line, they would come to us to help them have funerals. There are many who come who are involved in paramilitaries too. And again, you must avail of the opportunity. Many times you sit within aspects of funeral aspects and where there's families and there are divided families. And you're in the middle. And sometimes they would come and ask you, would you say something nice about my father or mother or brother or whatever? And yes, you're put in that position. But we have to be always faithful to the word. And we must get the message across. One particular gentleman whom I met through visitation, he had no interest in church. His wife had been a Christian for many years, and she always wanted Sammy to come to church, but Sammy wouldn't come to church. Until one day, in visitation with him, he said to me, David, I'm going to come to the mission. I said to Sammy, that is fantastic, you're coming to the mission. He came one night, but he came every night. I went to collect him in my car, and here's another wee aspect here in this passage too, because the Lord was looking for something to use. And my car, I always say to many people, you know, my car is not my own. My car is the Lord's. Because it's used as a means of transport to bring people to the hall. And it was used as that means of transport to bring Sammy to the hall. One night I was late. And Sammy, where was Sammy? He was halfway down the street, wondering where I was. He was making his way to the mission hall. No, he wasn't in the best of... He was quite elderly. And his legs weren't great. But he was so anxious to get to the mission that he said to me, where were you? I said, sorry, Sammy. I was a wee bit held back. But he got to the mission. Many nights I was preaching, and I was always looking down at Sammy. And I was asking myself, Sammy, are you taking it in? Are you really grasping the message? It perturbed me. Because I longed, as Maureen, his wife, was longing for Sammy to come to that trust in him. Sammy took on well. So much so, the family was called to his bedside. And I went down just after the Sunday evening to the Mater Hospital. And I went into intensive care, and there was Sammy with his family all around him, semi-conscious. I went over to Sammy, and I prayed with him, and I read the scripture. And I went over at the end to him, and I said to him, "Sammy, you've been coming to the mission hall for many, many nights and weeks now." And I said, "Sammy, you know, many times I've been preaching and I've been looking down at you and I've been asking myself, are you taking it in? Are you grasping it? And I want to ask you, where do you really stand with the Lord?" And I said, "Sammy, I know you cannot talk too well, but I want you to do something. If you have really put your trust in the Lord, I want you to do something for me. I want you to squeeze my hand tight." Sammy squeezed my hand tight that evening. After that, I went up to his wife, Maureen. She was at home, to tell her. Maureen broke down in the knowledge that Sammy had come to trust in the Lord. I expected to hear in the next few days that Sammy had passed away, but it didn't happen. It was coming, it was in this period of time that we're in now, Christmas period, and into the new year I had heard nothing, and I went back to the Mater Hospital just after the New Year's Day. And where was Sammy? He was sitting up in his bed. I was amazed. And I went in and I said to Sammy, "Sammy, I'm amazed that you're sitting up. I didn't think you would be here." Sammy wasn't interested in telling me how he had got there. All he was interested in telling me, "David, I squeezed your hand." You see, the Lord had given him time to affirm it. Given him time to affirm it. 2 days after that, Sammy passed away. I took his funeral. His wife was sitting in the knowledge that Sammy was with the Lord, which was wonderful. It was just wonderful to give the news that Sammy had come to trust. His family were there. Practically every single one of them hadn't come. As we always do, to proclaim the message. A couple of months after that funeral, his grandson, who lived away in Lisburn, came to the mission hall one particular Sunday evening to tell me that he had come to trust in the Lord through the message. He made his way to tell me. A month after that, his daughter came to trust in the Lord too. You see, once the Spirit of God moves, I always say it's like a domino effect. And you see, Sammy was the beginning of that. And oh, what a wonderful, wonderful experience. What a wonderful blessing for his family, for Maureen, his wife. But also, what a wonderful encouragement to know that, or the way that the Lord makes ways and means for for people to come and trust in him. And funerals. Many through those funerals have come to trust in the Lord. You see, it's all about the Lord. And we're catching men and women and boys and girls. And there have been many over this year. Just there on Friday, I was talking to one of the new missionaries. We have had 3 new missionaries over this year. And one of them is down in Mayo Street, just off the Shankill. And on Friday, he was telling me about a little lady who was longing to speak to him on a one-to-one basis, but never got the opportunity. She became ill. She was in the hospital, and Paul McCaw had the opportunity of going to see her in the hospital. And that lady came to trust in the Lord. And yes, in hospital beds we get the opportunity to come alongside people who are struggling. And those have been many, many, there have been many, many opportunities for us to lead people to the Lord. One other gentleman that I remember myself, his name was James. And he was seriously, seriously ill. And I went to the hospital to see that gentleman. And that particular day, I wasn't going to see him. I wasn't. But the Lord prompted me to go and see James. And you see, the Holy Spirit of God can do that. Can prompt us and bring people into our minds that we must go and see. And that was an important day because he came to trust in the Lord. And beside him, another Roman Catholic man heard what was going on. And I had the opportunity of going and speaking to him too and praying with him. Only eternity will reveal what happened to him, even through that. You see, all of these things are all opportunities that the Lord brings to us because we're on the ground. We're on the ground. And we go and we build relationships. Relationship building is the key. Is the key to all of this. And you see, again, it's all about knowing who is in control. The Lord is in control. One aspect here too in this passage, and it talks about sharing your blessings. Because here when they caught the fish, they had to call their partners over to help. And I always remind anyone when I come to speak about the Belfast City Mission to any place or any person, I always say, this is where you come in. Because you people are the praying people. You are the ones who are supporting us within this work. And you are sharing. I come to share these blessings with you. And you are part of this. Because I have to come and tell you of what the Lord is doing. And you see, we have to share our blessings with each other because they're given to us by God. And you see, the message here was come over and help us. I know sometimes that's impossible for people to do, but you can do it where you are because you are helping us. And you are encouraging us in this work. And I know you have done here for many, many years. and we're indebted to that. But your prayers are the important thing. Your prayers. Because without those prayers, unto the Lord we don't get success. Sometimes we are afraid. And sometimes when you go to a door, you don't know who's coming to that door. Many times you go to the door and you think you're going to be devoured. Sometimes a big paramilitary man comes to the door and you know them, so you do. But the wonderful thing about them, when they do come to the door, they're very receptive. Maybe even more receptive than the person who's a very good churchgoer. And you know, that is remarkable too. It's always the unlikely people that the Lord uses and the Lord draws. Because, you know, that, and those are the people you see the Lord has his eye on. The unlikely. Those are the ones who need the physician, as he talked about. Those are the ones who need the message. And you see, he knows that. How many times we go out there and we're seeking divine appointments. I'm sure you've heard the phrase divine appointments. And those, you see, are divine appointments. And many have been the means of bringing people to the Lord. We are given the Great Commission. Verse 5, and I'm going to end with this because I know you're going to have a little time of prayer. In verse 5, it really, really does speak to me. Because when Simon answered the master and said, "We had worked hard all night and haven't caught anything," these are the words here. "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And because God says so, each and every missionary who is called to the Belfast City Mission will continue to do the work. Because that is what we're called to do. To let down the nets into Belfast. And to let them down, not on the shallows, but in the deep water. We must cut the shoreline. If we don't cut the shoreline, if we don't go into the areas where there are difficulties, if we stay in the nice calm waters, we will not catch anything. We have to go where it matters. Into the midst, into the difficult situations, and continue to do that. Knowing if we do that, as the Lord says so, we will continue to catch men and women and boys and girls for the Lord. Continue to pray for us. Continue to remember all the different methods that we use. We use homework clubs. We use English classes as well now. Because in South Belfast, we have a couple of missionaries who would deal with Muslims as well. And also remember the youth clubs. And the boys' brigade and the girls' brigades that we have within the mission halls as well. And continue to pray that God will move in a mighty way again in the city of Belfast, as he did many, many years ago. Because who is he? Who is he? He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So we give him all the praise and the honour and the glory, for he alone is worthy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you are. And we thank you for all that you have done and all that you continue to do each day. And Lord, help us to go in your strength and always to be keeping you at the center of everything that we do and all that we say. And always to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. For you alone are worthy. We know, Lord, it's difficult. We are very much mortal flesh, but we praise you that you are the immortal, the God only wise. And Lord, we must keep our eyes fixed upon you. So, Lord, continue to help us and to seek you always. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.